Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. On today's show, did LeBron and the Lakers put the NBA on notice Wednesday night? Plus, Michael Rapaport explains why Odell Beckham Jr. needs to figure out how to embrace New York City and what's going on with all the finger pointing in Dallas. Skip Shannon, let's get to it.
LeBron and the Lakers beat the Warriors last night in a preseason game in Vegas. LeBron played 18 minutes, scored 15 points, including a long three at the buzzer to end the first half. He celebrated it, too. It was pretty awesome. He also added five assists, including an alley-oop to Lonzo Ball, who played for the first time this preseason. We are joined by our friend, Michael Rapaport.
Sometimes
Shannon says foe.
Y'all friend. Yeah. I'm a friend. Sometimes
friend.
He feels like
Y'all friend.
Sometimes foe.
All the time.
Yeah. I keep it real.
You a hate? No, you don't.
I keep it real.
You keep it hateful.
Yeah. I'm very. I just want to tell you guys, fantastic to be here.
Oh, good. Really? We have a busy day for you.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to all of it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Starting with the Lakers, how good can they be this year?
Very good. They're going to be, Skip, they're going to be very good. LeBron James is like, he downloads. You could tell last night. He downloads your strengths. Your weaknesses. He plays into your strengths and your weaknesses. Yeah. They have veterans. They have young players. My prediction right now is that Kyle Kuzma will also be an all-star.
Be an all-star?
Yeah. Yeah.
Kyle Kuzma. He's going to shoot it enough to be an all-star.
He's going to be an all-star. I think they're going to be, you know, between 45 and 50 wins. And then I think in playoff time, Skip, unfortunately, and I'm not siding with this guy. Unfortunately, they're going to be a major issue during the playoffs. They have the pieces. Rondo's there. LeBron's there.
So you don't think they have major issues?
No, I don't think they have major issues. I think they have a good combination of veterans, JaVale McGee, Lance, and these young kids.
Rondo?
Young kids who have a lot to prove, who grew up playing LeBron James on 2K. They're out there. They're hungry. They're tough. I think that Lonzo Ball is an issue in terms of, I think Lonzo Ball, last night, shot an air ball.
It was worse than an air ball.
Okay,
it was like the all-time worst air ball you've ever seen.
Why is it so common that we see him as an NBA player? We're not talking about a guy in the park. We're not talking about missing or being off. Lonzo Ball shoots air balls. That's mental. Lonzo Ball catching an alley-oop from LeBron James, he's not Dominique Wilkins. That alley-oop doesn't impress me. Why is LeBron James sending out Instagrams, young king? Because he knows he needs it. He's not doing that for Kuzma. He's not doing that for Ingram. Mm. He's doing that for a guy who's very fragile. So I think he's going to wind up being an issue. But I think, to go back to the original question, the Los Angeles Lakers are going to be very formidable. They're going to be very tough through the playoffs, obviously barring injury. And I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the games to finally begin so I can start doing my thing and irritating Shannon Sharp. Did you get your cheerleading outfit?
No, he burned his cheerleading outfit in the A block today.
I got another one.
He burned it.
I got it.
He crumbled. He moonwalked. He collapsed. He backed off.
Really?
He jumped completely off his bandwagon that he built.
Well, let's see.
I mean,
Mike made some compelling points.
You had to like talk him back in.
Nope. I'm not going there. I'm not going there. I need to see the last preseason game.
Preseason.
Last preseason game.
You've never said that in your life. Has anyone ever said that about an NBA?
Skip said we need to watch preseason. He tell you
it's the first time I've ever watched NBA preseason.
Ever.
And I actually start taking it to the bank.
It's
Seriously.
Crazy.
You know, because LeBron's a Laker.
But you know what? All the stuff with the Jimmy Butler, LeBron, and all that stuff. My prediction, as far as ratings and fans at games, this is going to be collectively the biggest season in NBA history.
I don't disagree.
Preseason,
I know.
Never.
Yeah.
And we're taking it like dead serious.
Crazy.
Well,
I need to watch the next preseason game.
Yeah,
basketball game.
See what's going on. Here's the thing. I believe this. I believe they're going to make the playoffs because that's what LeBron does. And they're going to get out of the first round, Skip Bayless. I know you don't think so because you think they're going to end up playing.
How are they going to beat Golden State in the first round?
Because they're not going to play Golden
State. They're not going to play them in first round. I'm sorry, Skip. Yeah. I don't want it either, but.
Yeah. They're not going to play Houston or Golden State in the second round.
So you're back on the bandwagon. No,
and they're going to cause some problems for the Rockets.
Wow.
That's kind of how we're positioning ourselves. We're positioning ourselves to deal with the Rockets in the second round. But what concerns me, Mike, is that when I look at this team, the outside shooting, they got guys that are athletic that can get to the basket. Ingram can get to the basket. LeBron can get to the basket. Got playmakers, Ingram, LeBron, Rondo. The question, and Skip and I discussed this earlier, what's Lonzo's role going to be?
I don't know.
When you got three, four other playmakers, mm-hmm. that's especially Rondo and Lance and LeBron, who've been playmakers before on playoff caliber teams. Rondo and LeBron for, mm-hmm. you know, title-winning teams. Lance Stephenson has been to the Eastern Conference Finals on occasion. Mm-hmm. And last year, he was, you know, coming off the bench, he did a good job of facilitating mm-hmm. When the other guys were out. So I don't know what's Lonzo's role going to be moving forward. But what concerns me most is the outside shooting. Mm. They don't have guys that can shoot. And LeBron is always, in Miami, they smothered him with outside shooting. In Cleveland, they smothered him with outside shooters. Now, when he drives and kicks, why am I going to let LeBron come down this lane? I'm going to close the door to the lane. I'm going to make him kick it because I already know. I don't worry about them guys making threes. And nobody really kicks to make a two-pointer skip. Mm-hmm. Normally, they drive and kick for threes. Mm-hmm. And they don't really have anybody that can make threes consistently. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm lowering it down. I'm coming down to around 50 mm-hmm. wins.
50? You just said 48.
I might go.
They won two games while you were talking.
Well, no, in the last hour on the show, two games came back onto his prediction. It's amazing
if I see something that I like.
You might have gotten a call. Did you get a call from Bron?
Let me see. No. Yeah. Hey, there might be something. Now, if I like what I see in this preseason game, I might be willing to go back up to 52.
He ain't even playing in the next preseason game.
I might be willing to go to 52. Yeah. Can I interest you in that?
So the great irony of this is that I was not bullish on the makeup of this team to start the preseason, but I'm the one who's starting to be more and more impressed because the offense is fun to watch.
Oh, yeah.
It will be, to me, the most entertaining offense in all of pro basketball.
Besides the Golden State Warriors.
No, well, it's just I'm talking about on the entertainment level because they're going to push the ball like mad. It's going to be Showtime 2, as in number 2 or T-O-O, however you want to do it. It has a different look than Magic Showtime, but it's just going to be high-flying fun to watch. But there are big issues that they're going to face when it comes to winning and losing basketball games. Number 1, they have no 3-point shooters. Maybe KCP. But they don't have LeBron's array of snipers, his spot-up shooters. That's what he does. He's still the best point guard in basketball. He's 6'9". He can see over the defense. And he loves to drive it and kick it or just look over the defense and skip pass to somebody in the far corner for a wide open three.
Correct.
And they're going to be shot by, I don't know, Kyle Kuzma?
The air ball king.
Okay. He can't do that.
The next problem is
they're actually, Shannon doesn't know this yet. He hasn't actually figured this out, but they're actually two ends to the basketball floor. Oh. And the other end's called defense.
I think they're going to be fine.
I think they don't play any.
You told me you didn't want them to play defense. Yeah. Just get up and down and score 140.
It's because they don't play defense, so you better try to outscore the opponent.
Skip, no one plays defense in November. They're definitely not playing defense in October.
They're not going to play defense.
I know, but last night
was just a joke for Golden State. It's like, your turn, my turn. You want a shot?
It's like an all-star game.
Yeah, okay. And then the final problem is they have not one or two. They have 4 point guards on this team. And the best point guard is number 23. And he's going to have the ball in his hands. I don't care what you say, especially when push comes to shove.
I agree.
And if they get off to a little bit of a rocky start, which is possible because they really don't know each other that well under fire.
Right.
Then 23 is going to say, get out of my way and give me the basketball.
Right. And number 2 is going to be?
Okay, number 2 is going to be on the bench most of the time because it appears, you know, in the end, push to shove, who does LeBron want on the floor to be his facilitator if he's going to play off the ball? He wants Rondo because Rondo's been there and fought that, right? He knows all. And again, LeBron's just gushed about Rondo's IQ is equal to mine. He can see it and feel it the way I can. And then Brandon Ingram, who is the rising star that LeBron loves, he loves to have the ball, and they love for him to bring the ball up the floor a lot, okay? So who's going – there's – the last time I checked, I think the Lakers only get one basketball. Unless maybe Magic can get a rule passed where they can have 2 basketballs, I don't know. But one basketball, and it's mostly going to be in 23's hand. That's a problem. The makeup of this team is mind-blowingly wrong, which puts pressure on the young head coach. And I've told you before, this is going to be the most difficult team to coach in the history of pro basketball.
Wow.
Also fun to watch. But it's how do you substitute for this team? Who's going to – what unit is what? I have no idea because I don't think Luke does.
Who will be the first person that LeBron blames? Because he will emerge.
He will.
LeBron blames will emerge because he emerges like clockwork, usually around January, throws under the bus.
Does.
Will it be Lonzo? Will it be Luke? Who will be the first person? It's going
to
happen.
I don't even think this team's good enough to have a scapegoat.
Exactly.
Right? Who's
so everybody
knows. Cleveland.
I mean, but he has Kevin Love, but they were favorites. You know, you got to have a scapegoat.
No, you're a hater. That's what I finally come.
No, he's not
it took me a couple of years. It took me a couple of years to come to this conclusion.
LeBron blames will emerge. You know this like clockwork. It's like the sun moving, the planet spinning.
Well,
blames will come out.
I mean, if I have a flat tire, I got to blame something. I'm poolside the road, so I blame somebody.
Shannon, by January, this team could have 3 or 4 flat tires. It could.
Well, the engine will be running just fine.
This is welcome to the West.
We know who the engine is,
play a Western Conference
game. We know who the engine is.
Okay, he's in his 16th season. You got.
Could you tell last night?
Nope.
Could you tell the night
before? I told you, I think he's going to win MVP and a scoring title.
He going to win it.
Because it's LeBron with the kids and the cast-offs. That's what you
have. Scoring title?
Yeah. I mean, who else is going to score?
A scoring title?
Yeah, unless Kuzma gets in his way, and then he's going to throw Kuzma under the bus.
Wow.
And you just put Kuzma on the hot seat saying he's going to be the all-star.
He's going to be an all-star.
Last night, LeBron took 8 shots in the game. Kyle Kuzma took 16 last night. Brandon Ingram. It was just preseason.
I mean, Brandon Ingram. I mean, and you look at it. Lance Stevenson's dancing with the basketball. I'm like, y'all ain't going to get the ball to Zoe? Lance Stevens got the ball initiating.
Well, what is Zoe going to do with it? He's a facilitator.
Right. But they got 4 other facilitators that seem to be handling the ball more than Zoe.
First time I'm saying it, but we got preseason, and that's fun.
My stock rose a little bit. I went from 8th seed to 7th seed and maybe like 45 to 6 wins.
I just went from 2 to 4.
Yeah, you completely folded your tent.
I went from a 2 to a 4 seed.
He just collapsed in the A block today.
2 to a 4 seed.
He gave up. He dropped it all the way to 48 wins.
This guy's going to be all out of his mind the whole season. When LeBron blames emerges, maybe he'll go after you. Maybe he'll go after you, Shannon.
You set the bar too high for this team.
Yeah. 52. Give me 52.
52 wins?
52.
Man. 52. You have to watch one more game.
52.
You're changing your mind too much.
If I watched this game last night, tonight, when they play tonight?
Friday.
Okay, Friday night. Yeah. If Brandon Ingram and Kuzma do what they're supposed to do, 52 on Monday.
Who are they playing? What team are they playing?
Golden State.
They're playing them again?
Yeah. In San Jose.
Yeah, and Steph's not playing, Durant's not playing, LeBron's not playing.
Look, let me, whatever reason I use to get to my 52, let me have it.
Just.
All right, we got preseason on Friday, but no mercy. Jimmy Butler is not shying away from his demand to be traded out of Minnesota. Yesterday was Butler's first practice, and ESPN reported he verbally challenged Karl-Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins, and the coaches. He even told the GM, quote, "You bleeping need me. You can't win without me." Butler spoke about the incident later in the day. Let's take a listen.
A lot of it's true. A lot of it is true. But you got to think, I haven't played basketball in so long. And I'm so passionate and I love the game. And I don't do it for any other reason except for to compete and go up against the best to try to prove that I can hang. So all my emotion came out at one time. Was it the right way to do it? No. But I can't control that when I'm out there competing. Like, that's my love of the game. That's raw me. Me at my finest. Me at my purest. That's what you're going to get inside the lines. I think that I was honest. Was I brutally honest? Yes. But I think that that's the problem. Everybody's so scared to be honest with one another. If you didn't like the way that I handled myself in practice, one of the players come up to me. Somebody say something. Anybody. I'm not going to take it offense. It's not personal. Mm-hmm. Jimmy, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah, you probably right. I would have said, I ain't hooped in I don't know how long. I mean, I'm passionate about it. I love the game and I love to win. And that's all I was out there doing was competing. Playing hard, doing what I'm supposed to do on the basketball floor.
And before I get to you guys, it was just reported that the Timberwolves canceled today's practice. So this has been building. There is a lot going on in Minnesota right now. So, Shannon, after listening to the comments and now hearing how this story has progressed, what do you make of that?
Jimmy Butler wants out of Minnesota. Skip, it was reported last year that he butted heads with Karl-Anthony Towns. He butted heads with Andrew Wiggins. And what did they do, Skip Bayless? They refuted it. Oh, it's all good. So now this confirms and validates because this just didn't happen yesterday. Now, Rachel Nichols, to her credit, she does a great job. She said she got the call the night before that Jimmy wanted to talk. She hopped on a plane and flew there. This happened. Jimmy Butler sits down and talks. Mm-hmm. See, Jimmy lying, though, because Jimmy says this is not a – he plays the game because he wants to compete. Jimmy wants a max contract like they gave Karl-Anthony Towns, like they gave Andrew Wiggins. Can this be fixed? Yeah, it can be fixed. Yeah, if you trade me or you give me max dollars. He said, well, if what I did was inappropriate, I think he's used, like, you know, say, Jimmy, you were wrong for that. Jimmy didn't want nobody to step to him like that. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he wanted to get out, Skip, is because he don't think they have enough dog in him. But see, Jimmy, you got to be careful. See, everybody's not going to let you challenge their manhood. But you knew who to, I mean, you figured them out early on that they don't have that dog in them. Hmm. And so you stepped to them like that, knowing they weren't going to step back to you. So he was able to get away with that, Skip, because this thing could have got sideways real, real quick. Because you, but I think basketball players are a little different than football players. Ain't no way a football player can step into a locker room and challenge the two best players, especially if they're other than quarterbacks. Now, quarterback ain't gonna, you know. But if it's a wide receiver or running back or a lineman or something like that, you're not finna step to him like that, Skip. Mm-mm. It was all up in your, what? But no, Jimmy, I get it. He's trying to make the situation so attainable they have no choice but to move him, Skip Bayless. Mm-hmm. But look what they gave up to get him. They gave up the number 5 pick and Chris Dunn, the number 12 or 13 pick, and Zach LaVine. And now everybody knows what Jimmy has done. Everybody knows Jimmy wants out. It's kind of like Kyrie Irving, Skip. Now, had Cleveland approached someone, said, look, guys, we're looking to move Kyrie, they could have got something. But that news came out before. Kyrie wants out. So now his value is greatly where you can move him to. You end up having to trade him to the team that you beat for the NBA, the Eastern Conference Finals the year before. So it weakens you, makes them stronger because you got no leverage. Everybody knows he's going to go. He wants to go. So what do you do now, Skip? Jimmy handled this situation wrong. Jimmy, you can't, I get it, you want out. But, Jimmy, you can't do this, bro. Because now, Skip, what they going to do? But we knew something. When it came out, it reported that Jimmy wanted to be traded. Andrew Wiggins' brother tweeted what, Skip? Hallelujah.
Uh-huh.
It's over. He can't go back in there. Mm. Andrew Wiggins not. But it goes to show you why LeBron wanted out. One didn't want to play with him. Mm. Can you imagine him trying to play with LeBron?
I think it was the other way around.
No.
Yes, it
no,
was.
No, no, no.
Yes,
no, 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 no. I'm saying no. Andrew Wiggins.
I thought you meant Jimmy.
Not Buckets. Not Jimmy. But Skip, let's be real, all the way real now. Jimmy Buckets is a great number two. He ain't taking no team. He ain't KD. He's not Braun. He's not James Harden. He's not a number one. So stop playing, Skip Bayless. I know you like his toughness, and I love it too. But he ain't them.
Hmm. You finished?
Yeah, I'm done.
I cannot tell you how much I disagree with your take and your take on what happened yesterday in Minneapolis, because this was a very positive sign from Jimmy Butler that he would like to stay with the Timberwolves. What did he scream during the practice to the GM, Scott Layden? What did he scream?
You can't win.
Get me out of here? No. He said, you effing need me. That's what he's shouting. And what did he tell Rachel Nichols? I just want to be appreciated. And he went deeper into his issues with those other two quote-unquote stars. And I have the same issues with both of them. But Jimmy, who was the last pick in the first round, the 30th overall pick out of Marquette, where he never made any All-Star, he was like honorable mention all Big East. He said, I am not the most talented player. Who's the most talented player on our team? K-A-T, Cat, right?
Yeah.
Who's the most God-gifted player on our team? Wiggs. I don't like Wiggs. I didn't like him before the draft because that's all he is God-gifted, but I don't like his intangibles. I don't like his motor.
Had Embiid back, you know, not been jacked up, right. Embiid would have been the number one overall pick. Hmm.
But then Jimmy said, but who plays the hardest on our team? Me. I play hard. I play really hard, and I put my body on the line every damn practice. And by the way, Stan Van Gundy, who's now a newcomer on ESPN as an analyst, he reported on SportsCenter, the late SportsCenter, that he called a couple of sources that he knows very well in the T-Wolves front office, and they said yesterday was no different than any Jimmy Butler practice, that's just business as usual. That's the
way he
played.
They're trying to smooth it down, Skip. Right? You know it's not the case.
I don't know about that.
No.
Okay? So when he says, I just want to be appreciated, now we got Kevin Durant syndrome that happened in Oklahoma City. Why did Kevin want out? In the end, it's because Oklahoma City management and ownership valued Russell above Kevin. They made Russell the alpha. They said he's our best player. They positioned him. They spoke about him publicly like he's our best player. And after a while, Kevin just couldn't take it because he thought he was the best player. So he said, I'll just go join forces with a team that knows how to share the basketball.
Is Jimmy Butler a better player than Karl Anthony Towns?
I think he's more valuable than Karl Anthony because he plays both ways and he does play hard.
But here,
and he will make and take big shots.
but what's the way the Minnesota Timberwolves can show Jimmy Butler he's appreciated? 5 years, $190 million.
Or the way you discuss them. Because all the quotes that come from the front office and from the GM are all about Carl Anthony's our most talented player and we can do this, you know?
Okay? But here's the thing.
There's a way you can handle this where you make him, he's the alpha on this team. That's what he's trying to tell
you. There's no question.
Yeah, he's by far the alpha. The other guys are followers.
But here's the thing. Had OKC given Russ a 5-year, $200 million deal before taking Kevin Durant. I can say y'all don't appreciate me. Mm-hmm. And that's what Jimmy Skipper, you gotta weed all the way through that thing and get all the smoke and chop the weeds down so you can see clearly. This is about money.
I don't think so. And what did he say about his coach, Coach Thibodeau, Tibbs as he calls him? He says, I'm paraphrasing the quote, but he said, right now, Tibbs is in his office chuckling over what I did in practice because he loved it. That's what Tibbs loves about why he wanted Jimmy because he had him in Chicago, obviously.
And maybe that worked with Joakim Noah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that worked with Gibson. Mm-hmm. Maybe that worked with Rose. Mm. But, Skip, you can't just because that worked there doesn't mean it'll work here. And so Jimmy is trying to say, well, okay, this is the way. No, bruh. You have to adapt because it's not about, you don't play a one-on-one sport, bro. Mm-hmm. You play a team sport and you need teammates. But like I said, Skip, this could have got sideways real quick. And then what?
I like it that he challenged their manhood because it's basketball. It's not football. Every position's sort of equal. You know, you're all the same. There are only three stars on the team.
Yeah, but Skip, you at the end of the day, whether I'm good or not, I'm still a man. And that's what I got to ride with. Because when I lay my head down, I'm a man. When I come to practice, I'm a man.
Yeah, but like Jimmy said, just do something about it.
Exactly. Yeah. But Let me ask you a question. If Z-Bo was on that team, he challenging Z-Bo like that?
Nope.
Exactly.
He doesn't need to because he's got dog in him.
No. I don't care what I got in
Jimmy is top dog on this team.
But here's the thing. This is what I tell guys. Look, Skip, you don't have to be tough. And I didn't pride myself on being a tough guy. I said, but don't you make me find out how tough I am. Because at the end of the day, I'm a man. I got a family. I got responsibilities just like you. You can't talk to Skip. You can't talk to everybody any kind of how.
Well, that's no reason to get him out of there.
No, he wants out. He wanted to deal with a trade. They weren't trying to move him. It wasn't like, see, Kyrie heard that Cleveland was trying to move him first. And then he said, okay, y'all want to move me? I want out. Minnesota wasn't trying to move Jimmy Butler. Mm. Jimmy Butler wanted out because Andrew Wiggins got 4 years for 150. Anthony Towns got 5 years for 190. I tell you what, give Jimmy Butler. But Glenn Taylor, he's a billionaire, said, why am I going to be in the luxury tax for the seventh seed? Remember, Skip, they basically had the play-in game for the eighth seed last year.
They did.
Why am I going
to? And then they lost in five to Houston.
Yep. Golden State can say, okay, we'll pay luxury tax because we're in the NBA Finals. We're going to move into a new arena. Okay, we can pay luxury tax. Skip, I'm not paying luxury tax for $100 million or $200 million to be the seventh seed.
Do you want to win?
I want to win championships. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. They win the championship? They're going to be Golden State. They're going to be Houston. I don't care how great Jimmy is. Jimmy can give you 25 and 12. Carl Anthony Towns give you another 25 and 12. Mm-hmm. Wiggins give you 18 and 6. They win it?
A couple more pieces. They got a shot. They could be contenders.
How many more pieces are you going to get, Skip? With three max guys? Mm-hmm. Three max.
Well, the sticking point is Wiggins. And I, you can go look it up. I did not like him before the draft.
Well, it's too late. You got him now.
Look how many negative games he had at Kansas where he just disappeared. You say, like big games, March Madness games. Where was he? I think he had 4 points in one game.
I get all that. Yeah. But Wiggins has gotten the deal now. Mm-hmm. He's got that 4 years with Buck 50.
I don't know how.
So what you going to do now, Skip?
I don't know.
Jimmy Butler wants out or he wants that max deal.
But he did say this could be fixed.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. Give me 5 for $190 or move me. Those are the two fixes.
Fixed for him, but what about the fan base? What about his teammates? What about the coaches?
Yeah.
This is a reputation that's been tarnished. And that's what I've been hearing from some Minnesota.
Yeah, you don't talk to me sideways. Woo! See, sometimes, Skip, you got to take a butt whipping to prove a point. Mm. But when you do that, Skip, you just make it so that he won't do that again. Mm. Now, sometimes, Skip, you know, animals, they get into a fight, but they put it on them just right. They might lose. But he's like, you know what? I don't want them problems anymore.
They open in a
week. Well, good luck with Wiggs. That's what I say.
You want to make it about wigs.
You know what? The fans are going to have to wear wigs to disguise themselves.
Jimmy Butler go out there, he cut up at practice, and you blame Andrew Wiggins.
I do. I love Jimmy Butler.
I
want him on my team.
I love him all.
I loved everything he said. I think it was just straight from his heart.
But he handled it wrong.
No, it was great.
A lot of passion.
No mercy.
So the 1-4 Giants are a 3-point underdog tonight against the Eagles. But the big story this week has centered around Odell Beckham Jr. In an interview with ESPN, Odell criticized his team, his coach, and his QB. He also said he was, quote, trying to be a leader. Michael Rappaport is still with us from the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast. Always a good time. This is your team.
Yes.
I know it's personal in a lot of ways. Do you have a problem with Odell's comments?
I had a lot of problems with his comments. I got to be honest, historically, complaining to Josina, Jimmy Butler complaining to Rachel, players coming here and complaining, this is not the Sopranos. Rachel Nichols and Josina Anderson are not Dr. Melfi, okay? This is not therapy. What happened to, I want to speak to you, we talk, it has to be a fight, like a little conversation. Historically, it never works. And Odell, listen, you knew that Eli Manning was going to be your quarterback when you held out. You knew when you were signing that contract, as you deserved to do it, and I'm not counting his money. You knew that Eli was your guy. Eli knows his flaws. He knows his strengths. We know where we are with Eli. That interview was before game 5 of week 5. It's not like they were 0-15 and it's been a season of frustration. That division is so weak. Yep. It's still up for grabs.
It is.
So complaining to a reporter about your quarterback, complaining to a reporter about anything on your team, it just never helps. They lost the game, and afterwards, after the game, he said, well, if that's what it takes for us, you lost the game. So the team didn't come together because of your comments. They didn't even see your comments because they were in the locker room. That's number one. Number two, when she asked him, are you happy in New York? And he said, that's a tough question. That's a tough question to be in New York, the greatest city in the world. It's not like you're in Southeast Czechoslovakia or Saskatchewan. You're in New York City. It gets a little chilly. Well, you're going to be out of there in January because you ain't making the playoffs. Yeah. Okay, you could come right back.
65 mil guarantee.
Yeah, you could private jet right back out to California. Like, you got money, but get some custom made thermals. Like, to me, it's so disrespectful to the fans who aren't the elitists. They're the guys who work hard. Like to New York people to say, that's a tough question about being New York. Not every athlete can play for LA. And LA, no disrespect, it ain't all that. It ain't all that out here. You know what I mean? Like, this is not like, you know, like it's raining dollar bills out here. There's flaws with this city too.
But by the way, you grew up in New York, but you've lived here for.
It's the greatest city in the world. Yes, it's right. The greatest city in the world. I'm actually, people call me Mr. New York, but I don't care if you're in Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you're in Orlando. I don't care where you are. You just to say that's a tough question. What's a tough question?
Well, he's an LA guy.
You know you ain't. You're from Louisiana.
Yeah, I know.
Like it's a tough question. Like you just don't answer it that way. Like this is New York City. Explore. Go out and get a slice of pizza. When was the last time you got a slice of pizza, Odell? When was the last time you had a good hot dog in New York City? A pretzel. You walked around. You don't even know the city.
He can't walk around.
Yeah. Yes. You know what though? If he shaved the mop. Okay, the bleach hair, it's redundant at this point. I'm a fashion guy. At first, it was cute. I'm a fashion guy. This is custom. I'm a fashion guy. If he can walk around
New York. Can Bella do custom now?
Shannon, let me explain something to you. Bigger stars in the world, whether it's movie stars, music stars, walk around and embrace the city.
Right.
Leonardo DiCaprio's all over Manhattan. It's the best city. Go to Harlem. Go to the Bronx. Go to Brooklyn. Enjoy this city. Don't live in a bubble. It's a tough question. Whether or not you like New York City in the fall, right now.
Oh, so you take it as a shot at you because you're in New York. He took it personal.
Yeah, it took you 5 minutes to figure that out. I'm just saying, like I said, even if you're in Cleveland or Baltimore, it doesn't matter where, you just don't say that about the city.
You make the best of the situation that you're in. Hold on. So let me get this straight. You thought if you signed that contract for $65 million, somehow magically you were going to appear in L.A.? So when did you realize, Skip, if you signed this contract, guess where you were going to be for the very foreseeable future?
Mm-hmm.
In New York. Guess who was going to be your quarterback for at least this year, maybe even next? Mm-hmm. Eli Manning. Guess who's going to be your play caller? Pat Shurmur. Mm-hmm. Hmm, interesting. Odell, look, all the circumstances about Lil Wayne, and you can dress it up hot. Odell said what he said. Odell is an eye player. Odell feel if I get my numbers, if I get my stats, mm-hmm. I'm good. Because we made Odell understand that Odell can get a one-hand catch and they lose by 20 points. Mm-hmm. Odell good. So Odell has understood that he could be himself without the Giants having success, but he could have individual success. And so for me, I agree with you when you talk about, well, this is what it took. What it took? Y'all was losing before you made that speech. You lost after you made that speech.
We still lost.
So what did it galvanize? What did it bring together? But you know what happened, Skip? They'll win tonight, and the Odell will say, see, I told you, that speech brought us
together. Well, he said it after Carolina.
There's no I in team. Huh? Eh? And I figured this out on the fly. There's no I in Odell Beckham. I just want to throw that out there. You work with that.
I'm thinking
do the math.
That. Yeah, there's no I.
There's no I in Odell Beckham. And also, these receivers, have they not learned from Chad Ochocinco, Terrell Owens, and now Dez Bryant what it can be? I don't care who you are. Those guys, we forget.
There's going to come a time.
There's going to come a time. But if I were a receiver, I would go, these dudes were better than I was. They're out of the league. Dez Bryant right now, because of all the shenanigans and the crying, out of the league. Chad never didn't finish his career on his own terms. Chad Ochocinco was that dude.
Well, we say, what? Long as they're here, production intolerance. As long as they're equal,
and it goes, but when it drops, it drops like that.
But no, tolerance will drop. Production can't drop.
But that's what I'm saying.
Because if tolerance ever get above production, you got to go.
Look at Dez. Yeah. Look at Chad. Look at Terrell.
Yeah. So my man Michael texted me on Sunday. Kind of, we're in the Pacific time, so it was in the morning, and you had just watched that interview, and you were angry and devastated by the L.A. remark. That was the one that hit you hardest because you thought New York people are just going to say, okay, we're out now. We're done with you. And I didn't mind because I wasn't surprised at anything else Odell said in that interview because he's the classic diva receiver. He gets frustrated that these guys, it's like T.O., they all want to play in the NBA and they can't because they're playing the most dependent position. Well, you played the basically. Yeah. It's a dependent position where it drives them mad because they can't make the ball come to them. Somebody has to choose to throw them the football.
Right.
So they can't go out and say, I'm going to dribble the ball up the floor today and I'm going to shoot. No, it doesn't work that way in this game. So he's crazed. He's got a finger point blame deflect because he makes $65 million guaranteed and he's not getting the targets he thinks he deserves. I'm okay with all that, but I'm not okay when you step across the line and say, I'd rather be in L.A. Because the truth is, and I have lived for years in New York and now for years before now and now in L.A. So I know both of them really well. So do you. I would rather live in Los Angeles, but I would rather play football in New York.
Oh, absolutely.
It is. It's just it. It is the Big Apple. And this kid, and he's still a kid to me, he is so blessed to play for the New York football Giants in Manhattan. Yeah. It's just
unless you play in college football, you want to play in L.A. Because this is a college football town.
Well, but if you play can
in,
be.
Right.
Can be,
but if you play in pro football, come on.
Come on. Come on.
The Giants?
Come on.
You play in one of the most storied franchises in all the NFL.
I don't care if you're playing baseball, football, lacrosse, soccer. This is New York City. I mean, I don't know what this thing is. L.A. Who cares?
Look, no matter what you think of Eli, and he's not the same Eli.
We know that.
But you can't say, it's Eli. I don't know.
You don't know?
Man.
You got 94 million reasons to know, figure out.
Michael,
I don't still get it. Look at Sterling Shepard. He's on the sideline.
He's doing it too.
He's trying to turn into
Odell.
To rip a garbage thing apart.
Yeah.
That's what he was trying to. That's what his tantrum was.
Now he discount Odell.
You trying to rip apart a garbage thing?
He's like he saw Bo Jackson break that bat across his head and break across the knee, like, man, I'm finna do this garbage.
I just, you know, for me, as somebody who's so talented, you have to figure it out. And I heard you guys earlier in the week, you don't figure these things out. When you look at his story with these guys, they don't figure it out. They don't mature. Like, he would have matured already. He would have. And I love him. He's such a talent. And I know he's a good dude and all that stuff. Yo, man up. Everybody's like, yo, I'm a G. Then G up when Josina sits there and stop throwing people under the bus. G up, Jimmy Butler, when you're at an interview. Like, everybody's like, yo, I'm this, I'm that. Like, yo, it's not Dr. Melfi. You're not on The Sopranos.
I got it. But seriously, bottom line to this, I'm still shocked by how positively the Giants responded, even if they didn't know this interview. He apologized to the team last week for whatever quotes he uttered, right?
Yeah.
And they played really well at Carolina. It took a 63-yard field. I know they lost, but I saw positive signs.
But that's what they're saying. Yeah. I mean, they can't say, well, he shouldn't have said that.
No.
They're going to say, that's our brother. We support him, blah, blah, blah. But behind the scene, bro, you got to let that go. You got to calm that down.
Yeah. And the Giants played well, very well the week before that, too. So it's like, you know, we're not – all is not lost.
No.
See what they show us tonight.
Tonight.
You can put a hat on and walk around Central Park. Maybe you should show them next time you're there. Check
DiCaprio
out Broadway.
Does it.
There's a lot to do in New York City.
Bob De Niro does it.
Yeah. Cameron does it. Yeah, I'm sure you walk around. Either way.
No mercy.
Well, the Cowboys offense is struggling big time, and the criticism has made its way to their own locker room. Alan Hearns was highly critical of the play call that resulted in Dak Prescott's second interception in Sunday's loss to the Texans. Hearns told ESPN that it was, quote, the worst play call that you could make against the Houston defense. Then yesterday, Hearns kept going with his criticism. He's not stopping. Take a listen.
How do you feel about the play calling in general, Ben? You had a problem with the play call, but play calling in general?
I feel like it goes well sometimes. You know, of course, you know, for a receiver standpoint, you know, you want more opportunities, you know, but you can't control that. You know, as far as for us, you always take control of what we can. You know, but as far as there's some plays, you know, where we all got to do a good job of just executing well. You know, sometimes where we're not put in the best position, you know, but that's part of football. I'm not sure. I don't think Dak had a chance, or I'm not sure if he had the authority to check out of that. You know, like I said, as far as that was day one snap of two man. You know, anyone knows versus two man, you can't run deep sixes. You know, so that was just an unfortunate situation.
Okay, Shannon, is what Hearns saying in or out of bounds?
It's way out of bounds, but Skip, he masked it. He's really talking about Dak, but he's masking it by throwing everybody under the bus. Scott Linehan, the offensive line. Here's the thing, Skip. He says, okay, we can't run deep sixes against that coverage, which is cover 5-22 man. Skip, he makes it seem like Scott Linehan called that play after he saw them line up in 22 man. He made a call because guess what? Based on what he's seen on tape through the four games, when they come out in third and long, they play cover one single high. Chris Richard, Seattle Seahawks, is a cover one team. Okay? You would never, ever play 22 man against a mobile quarterback, Skip. You know why? Because the defensive guys, you're playing two deep shell, two deep safety. Everybody's manned up across the board. Mm-hmm. They're paying attention to the guy that's in front of him. They don't pay attention to the quarterback. So once they turn their back, the quarterback breaks the line, he's running. So why would I play 22 man against a mobile quarterback? Because you know why? What we've shown on tape is basically a cover one single high safety. So now we're going to catch them off guard. Okay, the defense gets to meet too. They get to practice also. So Alan Hearns, do you realize you're not the only one that's meeting, that you're not the only one that's practicing, that they go in with a game plan? Well, they normally run this on this situation, in this down and distance. If we give them a different coverage, maybe we can catch them off guard. Skip, in the Super Bowl, we played the Green Bay Packers. At the down and distance that we were, the Green Bay Packers were 30 out of 30 snaps. They played 100% man coverage. Mm-hmm. The second day we run it in practice, John stops and says, Mike, what happens if they don't play man coverage? John, we've never seen them play anything but man coverage. Third day, Mike, what if they don't play man coverage? He said, well, John, you're going to have to make a play. Skip, we get up there, we line up, and guess what happens? They don't play man coverage. Okay. The defense meet. They won. Sometimes they have the perfect defense call, but we have the perfect play called against that defense. Mm-hmm. We win. Mm-hmm. Hearns, bruh, you got 8 catches in 5 games. Where's your responsibility? It's everybody. Scott Linehan. Okay, I get it. But Scott Linehan does not have the luxury, Skip, of looking at the defense and says, okay, hey, Dak, call this play. He's basing it on what he's seen through 4 games. You break everything down. The way we broke it down, Skip, is 4 games. That's why I said, once you get to 4 games, you got enough on tape, and we can see what you're doing. You see the tendencies that guys have, the formation, the plays that they run. I don't get what Alan Hearns is talking about. He made it seem as if Scott Linehan looked out there, saw them in cover 22 man, and said, you know what? Let's run a dig route. No, you're not running a dig route because the guy's playing inside leverage. He's not letting you inside. Dude, but for real, it's everybody else's fault. But Skip, I'm telling you, they're talking about your guy. Cole Beasley, he said it a couple of weeks ago, and we kind of swept it under the rug. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is, the reason why we keep sweeping this under the rug when they're talking about Dak is because who the players are. If that was Antonio Brown, if that was Julio Jones, if these were named players, receivers, we pay more close attention to it. But we look at these guys, oh, man, y'all trash anyway. So that, I keep telling you, Skip Bayless, it breaks my heart that you know that you're suffering like this. But maybe, maybe Dak Prescott maxed out. Mm. Maybe the best he's ever.
Are you saying that? Well, say it. Have the guts. Have the courage of your convictions. Say he's a bust. Say he maxed.
All I'm saying.
Say he just caught a wave. And it just.
Maybe his rookie year he was on a magic carpet ride. Yeah. Maybe he had a magic carpet ride.
Maybe that's your term. You like dry land.
Whoa. Maybe.
Well, say it.
Hold on.
Say it. You always have to qualify it. Like, well, maybe this.
You know
maybe
what? You gonna let me talk?
No.
You're not gonna let me talk?
I think it's my turn.
No. Okay. Well, let me say this. Maybe he's on a magic carpet. Maybe his rookie year he had a magic carpet ride like Patrick Mahomes is having this year.
Boy, he had about half a year last year a magic carpet.
No, he did not. Stop it.
Do you want me to start giving you the numbers against Aaron Rodgers at
9-7, huh? No playoff
against
appearance.
The Los Angeles Rams last year? Go check it out.
He took an L in both of them.
Well, he had no Zeke for six games. He had no Sean Lee for six games.
He ain't got Sean Lee now. But the tackling Dutchman is rated the second two middle linebacker in all of football.
Tell me when it's my turn.
It's your turn.
I have so many issues with this. I don't even know where to start.
You have issues.
Can I put this in some perspective,
please? You sure can.
I want everybody to understand that Allen Hurns is the new Dez Bryant. He is starting in place of Dez Bryant. It's his position. It's the routes Dez used to get called to run that Allen Hurns is running. Allen Hurns was undrafted out of the University of Miami. He ran 4.5 at the combine, and I looked up some of the pre-draft critique of him, and I read not physical enough, struggles to separate from tight man coverage, lacks polish and precision in route running, and average burst coming out of breaks. This is the man who has replaced Dez Bryant, okay? Let's keep that in perspective. He had one quote-unquote breakout season back in, 2015, I'm sorry, in Jacksonville. He caught 64 balls. Dez Bryant had years of 93 catches, 92 catches, and 88 catches. And over that three-year span, he led the National Football League in touchdown catches, just for the record. So this is a poor man's Dez at best. I don't even think I can go that far, just for perspective. Now, okay. What did he say? We didn't see this part in the sound that we saw, but he also pointed out that the two-man coverage that he talked about, guess how many times Romeo Crennel called that coverage in the entire football game?
Once.
One time. So if you can write it off as just bad luck. You could just say it's a bad break, right? And again, he said, I don't know if Dak had the authority to check out of the play. He checks out of like every other play. He checks out to a fault. Troy Aikman, in his criticism on, I believe, a Monday radio show, brought up the fact they're playing so slow because Dak is second-guessing everything at the line of scrimmage. Right. So do you want him to second-guess this one? Right. Or there's also this thing called disguise. Have you ever heard of disguise? Right. Sometimes you just get tricked. You get fooled, right?
They practice too.
Sometimes they look like they're going to do this, and they do that. Yes. And so now that you look back with the perspective of 2020 hindsight, and you watch the game tape on Monday, and you say, aha! They played two-man, and that's the only time they played it the whole football game. Well, why did we throw into two-man? Well, let's look at that pass. If we could see that pass one more time. Again, is it a terrible idea? It's not a terrible idea because the ball hits Allen Hurns in the hands. It hits. I'm sorry. With Dez in his prime, I know he got broken down and he became a disaster in the last couple of years, but would Dez have caught this ball in his prime because he'd be a big body, he'd just shield off the safety and just snatch it, right? Okay, the ball does hit Allen Hurns in the hands. I know, I get it, but did the DB get a hand in it? Maybe, but I'm not even sure of that. It looks like it just goes off his hands, goes backward, and it gets intercepted.
Skip, if you look at the snap of the ball, watch what the corner does. He lets the receiver loose and he jumps in his hip pocket. So he's telling you, I'm not letting you in there. And this is why you don't play this coverage, Skip Bayless, because you got a mobile quarterback in Dak Prescott. 22-man is the wrong coverage to play against a mobile quarterback. Right. So that's why he caught him off guard, because they weren't expecting it. Okay. You would never play that coverage.
But I don't think it's an awful decision and an awful pass.
No.
I just don't.
Skip, and that I'm sure I can assure you, Romeo Crennel is saying what they've seen from us on tape. When the team gets in this down and distance, we play this coverage. They're not expecting us to play 22-man because they got a mobile quarterback. You would never play 22 man against Cam. You would never play that coverage against Aaron Rodgers because they can take off and break the line of scrimmage.
Hey,
so well, can Dak.
So can number four. Yeah.
So that's why you don't play it.
Okay.
That's why he caught him off guard.
Okay, I got it. So, advantage Houston. Yeah. They won. Sometimes you win, right? Okay. Yeah.
They guess what? Every pass play, nobody runs. Scott Linehan said, you know what? This is the pass I want to run because it's going to be an incompletion. Mm. Every pass play is meant to be a completion or a touchdown, Skip Bayless. Allen Hurns, do you understand that? He's not calling plays. Well, you know what? This play won't work against that coverage, mm-hmm. so I'm going to call it anyway. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get the best play call against the coverage he thinks they're going to run. He doesn't know definitively.
Okay, so to your point, his conclusion yesterday was, we're not saying it's not us. We're saying it's not just us. So he's saying protection. He's saying quarterback. He's saying all the other factors, play calls, mm-hmm. defensive calls, a lot of things. Obviously, that's the beauty of football. That's why I love the game of football, because it's really complicated.
So many people got to do right.
Oh, yeah. So many moving parts everywhere, because you have 22 people going different directions.
Yep.
A lot of things can happen real quick.
Yes.
In the flash of an eye.
Yes.
You have to process it.
Right.
And if you're a split second off or an inch or two high, things can get tipped into an interception.
Right.
You say, oh, that was horrible. But the point is, I'm with you. I don't appreciate the criticism from him because it comes off like it's mostly aimed at the quarterback. And it comes off as blame deflecting. Don't blame us. We're open. Both he and Cole Beasley have said, one of us is open on every route. Like, maybe we're not always the both of us open, but one of us has been open every time. Well, that's blaming the quarterback. Then you're just saying the quarterback's not finding
it. Because that's not what he has said originally. That's not what Cole Beasley said originally. They didn't bring play calling. They didn't bring offensive line and run blocking and pass protection into the equation. It wasn't until this that they started to get a little bit, are you saying it's Dak? Are you? No, I'm not saying it's Dak. And I don't want to throw anybody under the bus. Mm-hmm. No. You say, you know what? Mm-hmm. This bus is big enough to run over a lot of people.
Yep.
So just to make sure, the guy that I'm really trying to run over, just to make sure that he's not the only one, let me bring Scott Linehan into the equation.
You got it? So this is what happens when you have the worst offense in the National Football League. It's not statistically the worst, just to my eyes. To my eyes, I tweeted the other night, America's team now has America's worst offense because it's the most excruciating to watch. Because you see potential, you see flashes, you know that three of the offensive linemen are pretty to very good.
Yes.
Maybe they're kind of on they're getting older. I don't know what's happened. I'm not sure about it, but they're not winning the line of scrimmage. But you say, well, they're capable, and Zeke's capable, and we've seen Dak do it before.
Right.
So why don't they? And then it just doesn't happen. But again, sometimes out of the friction that gets caused can create progress.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes you have to go backward to go forward. Yeah. And I do say, and we're going to talk about it a little later with Michael Rappaport, but Odell's blast in the ESPN interview, the Giants responded great to it. I don't know why. Maybe you just sort of throw up your hands and say, heck with it, let's just go out there and play.
Yeah.
But that worked. But that's your best player
right.
blasting everybody. This is a nobody blasting
that,
everybody.
Maybe the message is true.
Mm, yeah.
We just didn't want to hear it from this messenger.
Okay. All right. That's
could that be? Could that?
You mean from Allen Hurns?
From Allen Hurns.
Okay.
Now maybe if Zeke says this, then maybe you're like, okay. Mm. Now that's their best player. You heard what he said. But Allen Hurns, really, 8 catches, 5 games.
Because Odell, no matter what comes out of his mouth, it's going to create shockwaves.
Sure.
Because he's their best player.
Yeah, the best player, and he's the most famous player in New York City, right? And so he's going to create tidal waves when he opens his mouth. And it seemed to be a good thing for the Giants. It sort of cleared the air.
I don't know how you think, Skip. It's hard for me. I think there's a chance that Allen Hurns might not finish this entire season on this roster. But there's a 100% chance he will not be back next year.
Yeah, I would agree. And I'm going to say it one last time. Bryce Butler is back on that roster. He was Dak's favorite target last year, and he has gotten no targets or no playing time yet this year. Why is that? I don't know.
But, Skip, you're starting to hear more criticism. Mm-hmm. You're starting to hear analysts talk about the quarterback.
Right, but this is what happens when you're awful and your defense is playing top five.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's saying, score.
But who told you this? When the defense was playing awful and everything was going good.
Yep.
Sometimes, Skip, you got to look between.
Mm.
You were looking, but you weren't trying to see.
Mm.
There's a difference between looking and not seeing.
Well, last year, Dak was spectacular against the Rams and spectacular against Aaron Rodgers, and the defense was just a disaster.
But he took L's. I stayed open
the
late.
The defense took it.
I stayed open late so he can get these hot L's.
Did you see against those Kansas City Chiefs last year? Go look at his numbers.
Really,
Chiefs. Yes,
really.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Different kind of magic carpet ride when you lose.
Yeah, but
it's a different level.
That ain't what a land's on. That ain't one of them nice Persian rugs.
Well, you've declared him a bust, so we'll see if you have to eat those.
Why you keep doing that?
You gave him an F last year.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did his interceptions increase? Did the win total decrease? What about completion percentage?
I thought it was miraculous they went 9-7 last year.
I don't. Wow. Not after going 13-3?
9-7. They almost made the playoffs. Almost.
What is almost? No
mercy. Conor McGregor submitted in the fourth round on Saturday night to Khabib, and according to Dana White, he has already asked for a rematch. One problem, the chaos that ensued after the fight means Khabib has to pay a visit to the Nevada Athletic Commission before a rematch can be scheduled. Khabib posted on Instagram this morning threatening to leave the UFC. He also said that Dana can keep the prize money that's being withheld, and he wrote this: I would like to address the UFC. Why didn't you fire anyone when their team attacked the bus and injured a couple of people? They could have been killed. Why no one says anything about insulting my homeland, religion, nation, family? Why do you have to punish my team when both teams fought? If you say that I started it, then I do not agree. I finished what he had started. We are still with Michael Rapaport, and that Instagram post says a lot. But this rematch, do you want to see another?
Oh, yeah. I want to see another rematch.
Yeah,
I want to see Conor get that work again. He'll lose.
Yeah, get that work.
And let me tell you something. Conor McGregor is at the end of his career. He's no longer unbeatable. The Nate Diaz wars, the one that he lost and the one that he won, those were brutal. The getting punched in the face by Floyd Mayweather, that was a rough night. The taking the time off, he's going to be a great promoter. He's going to talk his talk and all that stuff, but Khabib will beat him easily. This will all be sorted out. I don't agree with what Khabib did jumping in the ring, out of the ring. I don't support any of that. I like the trash talk. You got to control yourself. But for rematch, sign me up. I'll pay my pay-per-view right now. Matter of fact, Shannon owes me a couple of bucks. Hook me up with that pay-per-view.
Come on over.
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it again.
Conor McGregor's done. He's no longer that guy.
You got on a loop in your house?
Yep.
You just watch it over?
I like when he say uncle. Yep. He do all that talking.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, tap. He just,
and when Irish eyes were tapping, part two.
Oh.
I love it.
Yeah.
You heard in the statement. His religion, his nation, his family.
Conor did.
He holds that dearly.
He asked for it.
Yeah, man. You know the thing? And as you mentioned, Michael, Skip, first of all, you only have so many of these wars in you. And the one thing you can't do, you can't take 2 years off from a war and then try to go back to war. Mm-hmm. You have to continue to fight. And he took time off. Now, Conor is going to have to broaden what he does, Skip. He's a striker. Like I said, I like to see him fight Ferguson because he's also a striker. Mm-hmm. But this kid, this Russian bear, Khabib, he come to fight. Now, he told you. Now, see, Dana White promoted this, Skip. He's showing leading up to the fight of Conor throwing the dolly through the bus. See, Conor maybe thought that was hyping the fight. Dana thought that was hyping. This dude took it personal. Mm-hmm. You talking about my family. You insult my religion. So, okay, I got something for you in this ring. Mm-hmm. See, I'm going to put all that stuff aside. You do all that. And he told him. At the press conference, he said, I'm going to smash you.
Mm-hmm.
This dude was...
And then one of Conor's teammates yelled something at the end of the fight, and he said, okay, this is for you. And he went right over the...
Right over the top, the octagon. You got Conor. I don't believe he can beat him, Skip. You might think this time around,
it might
be a Nate Diaz. I don't believe so.
Okay, just remember what he did do to Nate Diaz.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Diaz, last-second replacement, outweighed Conor, I don't know, 20 pounds. And Conor made the mistake of letting Nate Diaz get him on the ground, and it was over quick. That was over early round two, tapped. And Conor went right back to Dana White and said, I want him again, and I want him fast. And Dana told us that he told Conor, you're going to take 2 years off your life here. You need to heal up a little bit from the pounding you took. Conor said, I want him again, and he made him stand up the whole fight, and he beat him. And it took five rounds.
A rough fight. It was hellacious, man.
Because my wife and I were sitting in the splatter zone. We got splattered.
Did you really?
Yeah, we were sitting ringside, Las Vegas, T-Mobile. Mm. But the point is, Did that take a couple of years off Connor's life?
Yeah.
It probably did. And then you make $100 million and you want to go in there and do that again that'd with that guy?
That'd take 100 years off your fighting life.
That's right. This man is a cold-blooded killer. He is stronger than Connor. He is wider than Connor.
Yep.
He's a little quicker than Connor on his feet. And he can take a punch because he chose in round three. He just said, okay, like pride got him.
Yeah.
He said, let's just stand here and exchange
and
right
he
here.
And step forward.
Yeah. Well, he took a couple of shots.
Yeah.
Didn't even flinch, nothing. It didn't bother him at all. I don't know if Connor's lost a little pop or
Well, he was tired, Skip. You know, you don't have the same.
Maybe.
You don't have, I mean, to go deep in those rounds.
Because in round two, he got punished,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
That's what you ought to have on a loop in your house is
now,
the shots he's taking.
I didn't want to see him
too.
Tap.
So, yeah. So some people talk about it like this guy. Mm-hmm. Some people really are about it. And Khabib.
He's
was,
about
and,
it.
But I don't. I, listen, again,
Wait,
I don't support.
Did he just take a shot at you?
Oh, yeah, that was a shot. That was a
did all talk?
Yeah.
Oh.
But, you know, listen, like I said, I think that Conor McGregor, he's no longer going to be that fierce guy. The fact that Khabib, it was an overhand right, but it was a lead right hand. This is the most disrespectful punch you could throw at somebody because I'm not even jabbing. I'm just going to punch you in the face mm-hmm. for a guy who's a striker. He dominated him all the way mm-hmm. through. I would love to see it again. Maybe we bring that to the Garden.
Once he responded and caught Conor in the jaw.
Oh, he caught with that
it's
one.
Over.
Then it's whew, he's on him. And once he's on him and he got those legs wrapped.
Yep.
Whoa.
Squeezed him up.
You're done, man.
And that's the thing, Skip. I understand that you hyper fight and you have to say things. But in sort of, and I said this before, both of them, when they were leading up to the fight with Mayweather and McGregor, I said, both of these guys are stepping over the line. This is too far. There's a line that you get to,
but you get
up to that line.
But
Skip.
Floyd's enough of a showman. He finally said, it's all part of the hype.
Right.
And he takes some of it personally, the racial part,
a
little bit. But when they finished fighting, finished boxing, I think they hugged each other. You know,
He took all of it personally.
He took it all personally.
You know, if you want to say, look here, I'll be the dump truck load of you bums on the way to fight a guy like you.
And by the way, I have so much respect for what this man is made of.
Yeah.
This post, this is an ultimatum that he issued.
Yeah.
He said, you suspend my teammate, the guy who went in the ring.
Yeah, don't take his fight away.
He said, you're going to lose me. Well, I think he would live up to that. I think he'd stand up to
that.
So I'm not sure about how this is all going to play out.
I think the money talks and Instagram posts walk. I think it'll all get worked out. Dana knows that Connor wants his fight. They're going to fight again, and I think it's going to be more of the same.
And Khabib says, I want $10 million.
Yep.
I want $10 million.
And I'm the headliner.
Headline.
You could talk all you want. I'm the headliner.
Yeah, let him do all the talking.
I choked you out. I could have broke your jaw.
You could have. Well,
and Herb Dean did him a favor.
Did him a favor.
Didn't even get him around the neck. It wasn't like a chokehold. It was more like a hammerlock on the jaw.
Shannon knows about that.
But here's the thing, though, Skip. When you
tired. Oh, yeah. Shannon knows about that. We had a little conversation in the back room. Shannon knows all about it. Skip, trust me.
Okay. We could do it for charity, me and Michael. Give him a charity.
Oh, I would not like Michael's chances.
I wouldn't either.
Not at all.
I wouldn't either. I'd be running out of the ring.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
No mercy.
Thank you for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm Jenny Taft. Nick Young, yes, Swaggy P will be on the show tomorrow morning. So be sure to join us again at the same time, 9:30 Eastern. See you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.